other side. Caterpillar to a butterfly. Bye, bye,
butterfly. It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
8 o'clock hour, hour number three of the show, waking up to about 71 degrees, and it's going to heat up to about 90. So enjoy the cooler weather while you're waking up, hopefully with your coffee, a good breakfast in hand, and I'm glad you're starting your Saturday morning with me. And it's not just me. I'm in the studio with four people. I said I'm a little overwhelmed and nervous, but like it's so much fun. I just have never spoken to this many people at one time before in the studio, but it's going to be a good show. We're talking about the tree care industry, which I spend a lot of time about on the show. Owner of Premier Tree Solutions, Jeff Roth, had this wonderful idea, chopmytree.com, to get these guys together to tell all of you what they're working on for GFASI, which is Georgians for a Safer Tree Industry. So I've got with me Tiersen Boutte, who is owner of Boutte Tree, and then Kevin Caldwell, owner of Caldwell Tree Care, and Rusty Lee, director of tree care for Heirloom. So you guys talking about, you know, it is not a requirement in Georgia for a tree company to be licensed. And Rusty, with all of the skill that you have and you've seen in the business over the decades of doing this, that's kind of crazy to think that just anybody could go work on a tree.
Extremely, mm-hmm. extremely crazy. Like we said before, we're the most dangerous profession in the country, and that's documented. And nothing against any of the other professions. I think it's very common that everybody knows plumbers and electricians have to be licensed. Yeah. And it's important that they are. They can do a lot of harm to the house. But as basic as getting your hair cut by a hairstylist or a barber, they have to be licensed by the state of Georgia. If you go get a manicure, pedicure, that nail technician has to be licensed. And again, it's very important because they could do harm to your body.
Sure.
But when you're dealing with the most dangerous profession in the country, you know, somebody that's – and it has happened. We hear the stories of people dropping trees on houses, you know, killing people, stuff like that. There's no license required. You know, it's kind of a – unfortunately, a sick joke that – if you've got a pickup truck and a chainsaw and a case of beer, you're in the tree business.
Think you can, yeah, right.
And there's no regulation whatsoever. It's literally like the Wild West.
And Jeff Roth, you clearly did not start Premier Tree Solutions that way. You put a little more effort into it and work and training. You mentioned that off the air. Training goes a long way, making sure all your guys are up to speed.
Yeah, it sure does. And we do all kinds of different training, whether it's chipper operation, chainsaw safety. We do a pre-job briefing before every mm-hmm. job, and we get together as a team, and we find out, you know, what equipment we need. Where's our drop zone going to be identified? Who's going to be running ropes on this job? Who is the crane operator? Are we working near power lines? All those things. There's just a lot of moving parts going out on that job site, and it takes a lot of time to understand the mechanics of everything that's going on. And that's why it requires a lot of training.
Well, everybody has to know their role. You know,
everybody,
like you said, a pre-job meeting with the entire crew. I got to know where you are over my left shoulder to my right, you know, where everyone's working so that you're all able to stay safe and really assess the whole property, not just the one tree you're working on at that time.
That's right. And usually you assign a crew leader for that, and he takes care of that, directing everybody on where what their role is going to be. Whether it's, you know, a lot of us are working in neighborhoods and on the side of roads, mm-hmm. and some people just come flying down through our job sites. So it's important that you've got tree work ahead signs out, or men working, and cones, safety cones,
yeah.
and everybody having the proper PPE while they're out there on that job site.
So all of you have had this rumbling in your brains for a number of years. I heard you off the air, some of you saying, you know, 15 years, Rusty, back in 2012, you were talking to people. And Tiersen, owner of Boutte Tree, let me start with you as far as where have we come, where we are right now, how far have you come as far as getting legislation involved and really getting out in front of the Georgia legislature, being like, we've got to change the way things have been done?
Well, you know, it's the kind of story that you can talk to anybody in the state of Georgia, and they'll tell you a story about their tree guy. And that goes for the legislatures, the people in the legislature as well. So when we talk to them about licensing, then there's a little hesitation about overregulation. Obviously, nobody wants to create a burdensome environment. But everybody, I mean, Democrats, Republicans, it's a bipartisan reaction to this idea of licensing, because people are like, yeah, that sounds like it's crazy that we don't have it, you know? And so that's the reaction that we've gotten. you know, when Kevin and Rusty and I and Jeff have talked about this, it's been years in the making, and just personal frustrations, you know, the passion for the industry, your compassion for the workers. I personally still climb trees at least once a week.
Wow.
Right. And so our heart goes out to the people that are working in this, and that's really the impetus behind this. And it's been easy to communicate that to people because everybody knows a tree climber and everybody wants people to be safe. And so, you know, we've already had a resolution passed on the House floor to study this issue. And so we're looking at, you know, making progress and making a better place in the state for this industry.
And what's the process? Any of you can weigh in on this. What's the process of passing a law? And then if that's what we're looking to do, what would the law be?
As Tiersten just mentioned, we're going to have a study about the viability, and that's going to be conducted by some of our state legislators, and that'll happen next month. And that's basically going to give us an opportunity to maybe craft a bill that will be presented in the state session in January or February. And that, of course, would have to be voted on, assuming we get to that point. So part of what we're doing between now and then is advocating why we need to do this and make sure that our legislators on both sides of the aisle are congruent with what we're trying to do. And that's what's interesting about this. Oftentimes, people think of a regulatory environment as being anti-conservative.
Or anti-small business,
or whatever. And they think there's some kind of political spin. But I think it's a lot like trees. You know, we say trees unite us, right? This pursuit that we're involved in is not about separating us from other people in the business. It's about protecting the consumer and the employee. And it's really simple, that simple. And hopefully that message will come across in a correct way in a crafted bill, and that we'll have a chance to make it this business better in the state and take the burden off the state, because the state is the one writing the checks mm-hmm. to the emergency rooms and to the families that get hurt when there's no insurance.
Yeah,
this is going to take a burden off a lot of people, especially the consumer, because they won't have to go through the vetting process we were talking about earlier, where they need a certificate issued in their name. If someone presents a license, you're done.
You've got all, you know, that entails everything else.
And right. So all you had to have done as a consumer was decide whether you want to choose that company based on your interaction with the arborist that you meet with and or their cost. The rest of it is ambivalent decision. Mm-hmm. Their license. Today, someone can come and say, I have a license. And as Rusty was mentioned earlier, What does that mean? That you paid $20 to your municipality and they gave you a license? So really the licensing, going back to that, and the bonding and insurance, use of that terminology is really kind of a smokescreen.
Well, I feel like the conversation we're having here really is empowering the homeowner too to actually know what's up and protecting themselves on the front end. That way there's no disaster on the back end, right?
Oh, yeah. That's all about. We're so happy to give some information to people while we're here on the air. In addition to talking about, you know, what we're trying to do for the industry, it's just a great chance to sort of teach people, hey, in the meantime, before we get our licensing bill passed, you guys can protect yourselves these easy steps.
And so, now here's a good question that you all have been asked, though, for someone that's a do-it-yourselfer, maybe someone listening in middle Georgia or South Georgia with a lot of property. They take care of their own tree work, and if they have the skill set and they have the equipment, fine. But would it be illegal then to cut down my own tree if there were licensing? Do I have anything to prove to anybody? You know, does that limit me as a homeowner?
No, currently what we've got proposed, there are several exclusions in the bill. Homeowners, landscapers working under a certain foot, I think it's, you know, if they're working off the ground, we're not going after. They're not going to be applying for this.
Yeah.
So there's several exclusions. And the utility industry is not necessarily falling under our private urban type tree care stuff.
Okay.
And we know there's some stuff out there. We have a little bit of track history. I think there's five or six states in the country that have already had a license. We've talked to some of those states that have had it for several years, and they're seeing a reduction in accidents, and that's the goal.
We know it works. Now, what would a contractor need to do to get a license, you know, maybe forward thinking here, if all of this goes through? How involved is that going to be for a business owner?
So what we've been talking a lot with insurance companies, because a big part of this is about insurance and making sure that, you know, homeowners are protected and workers are covered and everything. And we've really discovered that it's not going to be a burden for new contractors to, if they don't already have the insurance that they need to cover everything that they're supposed to cover, it's not going to be hard for them to do so. We've discovered that for many of these contractors, the insurance that they require is really available, and it's you know, not cost prohibitive. So, you know, the new contractors are going to have to get insurance, and then they're going to have to fill out a few forms, and then they're going to have that license. And then the license will be something that, that the state can use over time to make sure that people are in compliance and that homeowners can benefit from.
So giving all of you a little bit more information about GFASTI, when we come back, Georgians for a Safer Tree Industry, how you can join the cause, how you can maybe help this out, become a member. You don't have to be a small business owner to really get behind what these guys are talking about today. And when we return as well, the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend. You're listening to 95.5 WSB.
Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca. Here's your garden to-do list this week.
Number one, I like to start thinking about planting wildflower seeds. And you know, it's really not that tricky. You pick out the ones you want that are native to Georgia. Lightly prepared soil is the key, though. If you over fertilize it and it's a little too nutritious, the wildflowers are actually going to be stunted a little bit. So don't put a lot of thought into it, but you do need to avoid areas where grass is going to compete. Clear out that soil, whether it's spraying herbicide now, mowing it down and all of that kind of thing, so that the wildflowers are able to do their thing. Number two, it's time to dim the lights for migrating birds. The fall migration period began just a couple of days ago, all the way through November 15th. A ton of birds passing through Georgia. And when we keep the lights out, they have a clearer path of how to come through. So Georgia Audubon, they send out light out alerts on evenings of peak migration, the birds that are coming through. You may want to visit their website at georgiaaudubon.org. And number three, this weekend, yesterday and today, the Great Southeast Pollinator Census, which we talked to Becky Griffin every year about that. It's really exciting to get the kids involved and all of that kind of thing. Becky Griffin with the University of Georgia, Community and School Garden Coordinator, Pollinator Health Associate. Let her tell you how you can take 15 minutes out of your weekend today and get this done.
Go to the website, download the resources about how to count and how to differentiate the individual insect categories. Find a plant in your yard that has shows some insect activity. Grab a chair, and I always advocate for a sweet tea because it's always hot in August. And then take your pencil and your counting sheet that you can print off or count on your phone. And for 15 minutes, count the insects that land on that plant and put them into one of the insect categories. So we're just asking for 15 minutes. The website is gfepc.org. We are the Southeast Pollinator Census on Facebook, and we're also Southeast Pollinators on Instagram. On the morning of the 18th, we will open the portal and people can start uploading their counts. It's a very simple form. You'll be asked weather data, what plant have you counted on, and then upload your count. We have loads of educational information people can pull and use in their classrooms. The resources that we provide educators are used towards STEM certification, so they can get their classes involved. On the website, there are lesson plans. There are activity ideas for teachers. We've had over 100 schools participate.
So again, the website is gsepc.org, all of the first letters of Great Southeast Pollinator Census, but you got to put SE. So gsepc.org to get in on what Becky's talking about with the pollinator census. Today is the day you need to count the pollinators. It's going to be fun for the kids, and anything goes. Bees, flies, hummingbirds, butterflies. I have four gentlemen in the studio with me. We're going to carry on the conversation after 8:30 about Georgians for a Safer Tree Industry. And if this has piqued your interest and you want to know more about GFASTI, which is what we're talking about, the website that they have set up is safertreeindustry.org, and how you can get involved, get behind this cause of keeping everybody, consumers and workers in this industry, safer, because it's a dangerous industry. We've had Jeff Roth, owner of Premier Tree Solutions, on over the years to really talk about the nature of the industry. Rusty Lee, I've hung out with at a number of tree events, just really seeing like the skills of tree climbing, and it's a competition, and things are really fun surrounding the Georgia Arborist Association events. And Kevin Caldwell and I have met at Urban Ag Council meeting, and Tiersen Boutte just meeting for the first time today. It's great to have you guys together in studio to talk about this. So more about GFASTI when we come back. Stay tuned. It's Ashley Frasca. You're listening to 95.5 WSB.
type, caterpillar to a butterfly.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
All right, a lot more to say and a little bit time left to do it before Dave Baker physically kicks me out of this studio at 8:58 to do the Home Fix It show from 9 to noon. So I want to get right to it with my guests in studio today. Hopefully you're enjoying the conversation about the tree industry, what it means for you as a homeowner. Even if you don't own a home, this can impact you for sure. We just want to keep everybody safe. Workers' comp insurance costs down. That's burdensome to all of us who pay into that and receive a paycheck and the government and all that kind of stuff. So with me going from left to right, I have Tiersen Boutte, owner of Boutte Tree. I've got Rusty Lee, director of tree care with Heirloom. Jeff Roth, owner of Premier Tree Solutions, who brought this whole group together. And Kevin Caldwell of Caldwell Tree Care. And Tiersen, I'm going to start off with you again. You know, it wasn't too many months ago that we had another story, unfortunately, of a climber who succumbed to some injuries that he received on the job. And I think that probably happens more often than not. And me being John Q. Public doesn't hear about it every time. But you yourself, being in this industry as long as you have, I mean, you have actually been a part of rescues.
Yeah, I have, unfortunately. I mean, like I said, tree work, it kind of gets into your blood and you start to love it. And you also love the people that you work with. You know, that happens. And I've been on the receiving end of calls where people said, hey, so-and-so is in a tree and he's in trouble.
That's what we mean when we say a rescue. A climber is actually stuck or having a medical issue or whatever in a tree.
That's correct.
I mean, a fire department with a fire ladder on the truck, they can't necessarily do that, right?
They cannot. And so, you know, your homeowners, we're really interested in homeowner stories because they are just so important for our business, and we don't have access to all the stories that are out there. But for us, the stories are sometimes tragedies with the people that we work with. And so it's all just, we need the listeners to help us in a way, because there's stories from their point of view that are important for us to communicate to the legislators what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to make safer for homeowners.
And these guys are a brain trust. You all get together as a group and meet quite frequently. And so it would be interesting, you're right, to have these stories documented, to share amongst yourselves, learn from others' mistakes, to share with the legislature, to show that this is an important topic. So what I'll have you all do listening, if you had that guy that he took down a tree and it took out your shed and then he left and you never got any recourse or anything like that, just frustrating experiences, maybe the power was knocked out by a limb that was fell the wrong way or something. I want you to be able to email these guys those stories. So reach out to me. You know how to do it. Find me on the Facebook page. Search Facebook for Green and Growing WSB. Hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, however you need to. And just get it off your chest. Be like, you know, I want to share my story with these guys and my frustrations because, you know, we don't want a couple of bad apples ruining the industry for sure. But these documented stories, you're right, are just going to help promote the cause.
Yeah. 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 I can tell you about the injuries and the rescues that I've been involved in. But I think for us moving forward, we just need to bring everybody together. And that's what this movement has done, is it brought all the tree people together. And my hope is that as time goes by and we get more involved in the training and the protocols necessary, that it'll actually bring the industry even closer together. But maybe Rusty can tell us more about like how it's going to work.
Yeah, Rusty, we've talked about training and you yourself have trained a number of crews. You know what you're doing. You're very experienced and a certified arborist as well. But talk about being proactive with that safety. And, you know, we spoke earlier, it's the business owner's responsibility, the level of training they provide their crews. So if you can be a little safer in a proactive manner, how that's going to result, you know, for the end product, for the homeowner and for the business.
I think we've reached out to several of the other states that have these programs, and most of them are all much more restrictive than what we're talking about doing. We've talked to some legislators that have told us, you know, just kind of giving us a heads up. They don't want us to be too restrictive in trying to shut down other companies, things like that. So right now, the some of the language in there is carrying minimum insurance and not a lot of other hoops to jump through. So it's pretty basic. Our forethought on this and our hope is that if you're a tree company, you get the sort of the license, you've got to have the minimum insurance. And in doing so, if I think we're going to hopefully make this industry safer on the back end. So if you've got insurance company A and they're you're paying your dues, if you start doing unsafe practices or don't get the training, you don't use the PPE, start having a lot of accidents, either your premiums are going to go up or they're going to end up dropping you. So it's going to behoove you to learn how to do things safer. And I'm hoping there's a lot of insurance companies out there that are willing to come in and meet and say, instead of just taking your check and here's your certificate, they're working with you and saying, hey, you need to start having some tailgate safety meetings. You need to start doing things right. You need to start getting some training. We're going to make the industry safer from the backside, not on the front side, restricting companies when they get the license.
I don't know why anybody wouldn't rally around that. And Kevin Caldwell, owner of Caldwell Tree Care, you mentioned something off the air which stuck with me, kind of that peer influence, right? Like a domino effect of if you see others doing good, well, you're naturally at the end of the line not wanting to be the bad guy. Like you're going to want to fall in line with things that you're seeing being done right.
Absolutely. I believe that the side effect of licensing will trigger that peer influence that is going to help everybody look after each other in this business. And when you see your competitor has a license and you don't, you know you're operating outside the realm of what you're supposed to be doing. And just the trigger of going to get that license is, I believe, going to bring a higher level of awareness for the employers that they're gonna have to do things on the up and up. Again, not trying to make this an unfair competitive environment. Really what this is all about, it's about saving lives and actually ultimately saving money for the consumer and the insurance companies and us business owners. You wrap it all in a nice bundle, it's going to significantly change the landscape in Georgia for the tree business owners and workers and consumers. And it's going to only get better because that peer influence just rubs off.
You guys are competitors kind of in a sense, but it's really cool. I mean, I told Jeff Roth this months ago, like to get all of you together and be like, yeah, we all have our own businesses. We do help each other out, give each other leads. But at the end of the day, you all want the same thing. So I'm going to ask each of you, how did you get started? Like, I would assume people that get into this industry, it's because they have a passion. Tearson, you mentioned earlier, I liked being in nature. I liked being outdoors. You have a passion for trees. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some people get into this business for a quick buck. But, you know, Rusty, think back 20, 30 years ago. Why did you get into it?
My degree is in horticulture. I loved working in landscape and trees. And the desire to climb just was fun.
Yeah.
I think just about all of us that climb, there's a little bit of an adrenaline junkie in us.
Sure.
And it's a way to, you know, heck, I can climb rocks, but here I can climb trees and get paid to do it. So
yeah. It
just kind of naturally came together.
And when you're talking about tree climbing, I just want to do an aside for a moment. The tree climbing championships, which I've been fortunate enough to go 1 year and may come again. But tell folks a little bit about that. Like you talk about adrenaline. That's kind of a fun thing to see. Yeah. And it's open to the public.
I think what people don't realize is the elite climbers, they are truly industrial athletes. And, you know, the Georgia competition, it's mostly Georgia competitors, but it is open to out-of-state and international competitors. So we bring in some of the best in the world really come here to compete. Georgia is known to be one of the top competitions in the country, and we get some of the best here. It's eye-opening to see that level of competitor compete against each other, and it's a fun event.
And so that's coming up in Decatur this year. Y'all do change the location from year to year. What time of the year is that?
I think it's
I'm trying October, to look up
November.
Too. Yeah,
I was a chairman for several years. I'm not this year.
I'll be sharing that with folks. Yeah. Okay, volunteer sign up for the 25th annual tree climbing championship. Volunteer sign up starts November 3rd. Competitor registration November 3rd. So I mean, people listening that own businesses in this industry could register their climbers and they compete, and it's just, you know, recognition in the industry. Jeff Roth, owner of Premier Tree Solutions, why did you get into this?
Well, I got into this business in 2006. I bought an existing business, and I owned a couple of businesses prior. I hopped in the truck with this guy one day and spent the day with him, the guy that I bought the company, and I was like, I love this.
Yeah.
It's problem solving. It's exciting to see the equipment and the skilled labor do what they do. And that's kind of how I fell in love with it. And I wanted to just provide a positive experience for my employees and for the industry itself and my clients.
And Kevin, what about you?
So I was a childhood entrepreneur walking behind a mower 51 years ago, and got my degree in political science and was going to fly in the Air Force, and I punted on that and ended up working for True Green, and then one of our friends in the tree business, Spence Rosenfeld, welcomed me into the tree business, and I fell in love. Then I got some courage 31 years ago and made a go at this. And living in your passion is a really great place to be. And I'm, you know, I'm not the accomplished climber that two of these cohorts right here are, but
you don't have to be.
But I am an accomplished arborist and work really diligently to stay up on everything. And it's a joy to go to work. Their adrenaline getting in the trees, my adrenaline is solving problems, complex problems with people's trees and their landscape and job sites, and coming up with something that is the result of thousands of hours of education post college.
I can relate. I feel the same way. I love getting up for my job 6 days a week, as you mentioned, Tiersten. Yeah, I'm here 6 days a week, but I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. And you yourself, Boutte Tree, you started your own business, and you really started that entrepreneurial thing as a teenager as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I climbed trees all through college when I was at Georgia Tech. Yeah, I would climb them Monday, Wednesday, Friday trees.
Now, were you actually doing work, or you were just doing it to scamper up and down and say that you
could
do it?
Oh, no. No, I had to make the money.
Not for fun.
Yeah.
Well, fun and making money. Yeah. So let me talk to you while we have a few minutes before we go to break here about I promoted the website for all of you to get together for the Georgians for a Safer Tree Industry. That website, pretty easy, safertreeindustry.org. There's membership involved where there are costs for y'all to be able to promote this, to get out in front of people. So what would that look like? You know, I don't have to own my own business. I mean, I have a room full of rock stars here, but for everybody listening, they can get involved in this effort too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we've run across a lot of homeowners that, just feel strongly about this. You know, it affects people. And, you know, one of the best things we could get from a homeowner is a solid story that helps us tell the story from the homeowner's point of view. We hear about it when we meet with our customers, but there's some, if you've got a story that's about a tree guy and it kind of teaches the points that we're trying to make, which is that, you know, safety is important, training is important, and that licensing has a place in the state, and that licensing will help everybody. If you've got that story, please share it with us. We'd love to hear it. You know, you can email me. Our website is safertreeindustry.org. You can fill out a form there. And if you want to join, we have some membership levels that are just, you know, very, very affordable. And you just show your support for what we're trying to do. That would be tremendous.
I love it. All right. Speaking with Tiersten and Rusty and Jeff and Kevin, a few more final thoughts from these guys before we wrap things up here on Green and Growing. Stay tuned. You're listening to 95.5 WSB. So final thoughts from my guest I have in studio today. Kevin Caldwell, I'm going to start with you. Thanks for being here. I mean, getting the four of you together, this has been a really invigorating discussion.
It sure has. And I want to thank you, Ashley, for being a supporter of all things green. You really help us stay on top of things, and you're a great conduit to the public. Appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that Jeff was willing to share his time with us here. This has been an unbelievable experience, I think, for us to just get such great PR for what we're trying to do.
I think we'll make it an annual thing. Caldwell Tree Care, where do folks find you?
CaldwellTreeCare.com. And we're out of Roswell, and great to be here.
And Jeff Roth, you got them all together.
I got them all together. I'm excited to have them all here. Kevin, thank you. Tiersten, thank you. Rusty, thank you. You guys have been great, and I appreciate y'all's time today.
And your website?
Chopmytree.com.
That sounds familiar. All right, Rusty Lee, what you got?
Again, thanks for the opportunity to get out here and speak about this. We've been working on it forever. Yeah, you feel free to reach out to me. I'm an heirloomtreeandgarden.com or heirloomtreeandgarden on Instagram.
Yeah, good social media stuff.
Yep.
You guys, I mean, pictures of you climbing a tree. You're never too old to get up in that tree and have a good time doing it, right?
Exactly.
And Tiersten, where do folks find you online?
BoutteTree.com to find us. Look, if anything we've said today resonates with you, if you had an experience, if you feel strongly about trees, then you can go to safertreeindustry.org, or you know what, just email Ashley. and tell her you've got something to say. We really do want to hear it. We want to make this industry better, and we want to make it better for Georgians.
Yeah, I'm excited for folks to share those stories. And we didn't have a lot of time for calls today just because I knew the four of you had so much information to get out with this being an introductory meeting with all of us. So I will be back, of course, next Saturday. All of you hold those calls. Hit me up on the Facebook page in the meantime. But what Tiersen is saying, really, sharing your story, your frustrations, whatever good experiences or bad experiences you've had are going to help really fuel this cause and what these guys are really trying to do. Levels of membership, if you really like what you've heard and want to get a little more involved, or maybe you're tiptoeing into the industry yourself and this is something that you're passionate about, safertreeindustry.org. As Tiersen mentioned, you can reach out to me, email me to get in touch with these guys off the air, and I'll be really curious to hear the collection of stories and things that all of you are able to share with them. So in the meantime, again, on the Facebook page, search Green and Growing WSB. A lot of good posts recently because I've been out and about more than ever now that we had some 80-degree weather last week. More about the Great Southeast Pollinator Census there. Taking care of crabgrass in your lawn. It's really been something this season. Info about the Fulton County Master Gardener class coming up in January and how to listen to shows that you may have missed. All of that, again, on the Facebook page, Green and Growing WSB. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you guys so much. And everybody take care. I'll be with you tomorrow. As a matter of fact, hosting the weekly checkup. We'll be back at 3 p.m. tomorrow. Have a great weekend.